And just as a reminder, when there was a storm and there's lots of leaves, yeah, every one of us, yeah, after the meal we sweep around the sala and the street down, yeah, and around the office. Huh? Also, yeah, also the lay people help who are here, yeah. So, what are we going to talk about? Hmm? What is important in our life? Hmm? Oh, what is the meaning of our life? When we came down in this life, you know, what was our goal? we all found a way or a place to spiritual practice. That means it doesn't come from this life. Yeah? You must have practiced in the previous life. And if you have practiced in the previous life, normally when we come and are born into this life, we have a certain goal. But, yeah, just like the Kilesas, when they grow up, they hide the goal and we forget about all our goal. Yeah? And then we are 76 years old, and then we start to remember. Huh? I mean, we have two choices. We live in samsara, we live in the hamster wheel, running, yeah? I mean, the Westerners know hamsters, they love hamsters, you know, the kids love hamsters, yeah? They have hamsters in their hamster boxes and they have a hamster wheel, and these hamsters are running, but not going anywhere. Yeah? So the next time, you know, when you all go out, you know, look at, yeah? And then you see yourself, yeah, running in samsara. Not getting out. This life, next life, previous life. How many lives have you lived? Ask yourself. I mean, uncountable number of times we have been. And we probably have been to all spheres, yeah? All realms of existence. To the deva realm, lots of times to the hell realms, even in the animal realms. We've been there everywhere. And we can't get enough of it. We are addicted to this kind of life. Makes us feel like we can do something, we can achieve something. But at the end of our life, you know, what have we achieved? What is it that we can take with us in our next life? Huh? Ask yourself this. It's a very important question. The only thing that we can take with us is our pun and pap. That means our merit and demerit. And the abilities that we acquire. But the abilities that we acquired or the character that we acquired, I mean, it changes in the next life. So nothing is stable. We have to remind ourselves that everything in this universe is anicca anatta dukkha. Anicca means impermanent. When we train ourselves in this life to be very generous, that means in the beginning of the next life you are probably very generous, but we can get instantly very, very stingy. Yeah? So this changes. A good nature character, you know, can change, and sometimes we see it even within a lifetime. How a good person, you know, changes into a bad person, or how a bad person changes into a good person. So these things are changes, they are constantly under the changing nature, you know, of this universe. And anatta, all these things that we think they are us, you know, do not belong to us. We cannot take our body with us, we cannot take hold of our feelings because they come and disappear. Our thoughts, you know, come and go. Everything comes and goes. Nothing belongs to us. But we think it belongs to us. We believe it's our thoughts, it's our memory, it's our idea, yeah? And then we go, you know, and patent our ideas, you know, and say other people who use this idea have to pay money for it, yeah? That's how far we have gotten, you know, with this with these possessions. We want to possess them. It's the same thing, you know, we come to a monastery, you know, and then we want to possess the space that is given to us. Yeah? Change it like this, change it to our liking, yeah? As if it were ours. And then it, of course, the more work we put into them, the more difficult is it to leave behind. We should put our emphasis on the development of the citta, not on the development of other things. Let's have a look at our life, yeah? Remember. I mean, how many things have we done? How many things have we created? How often, you know, how often have we changed this or that? And how attached are we to these things? And the more attached we are, the more difficult it is for us to leave this place or to leave this set of circumstances. So this attachment to the things that we create or to this body, especially to this body, it is very strong. And that what is keeping us from one life, going from one life to the next life. The attachment. Or... I mean, it can be positive attachment that we like something, or it can be negative attachment. Also, this negative attachment, finding somebody as our arch enemy. In the next life, he's still our arch enemy when we meet him. It is a negative attachment. Attachment to ideas, attachment to thoughts, attachment to forms, and especially attachment to this body. We think without this body we cannot think or we cannot see or we cannot hear. We just go into the samadhi and travel into other realms, you know, while the body is still sitting here and you still can talk. Yeah? In a different way, not with your mouth, not with sound. Yeah? You still can think. And you can travel. Actually, it is much easier to travel, you know, without this heavy body. I mean, look at us, you know, as human beings. What have we created to carry this body around in this world, huh? Created ships, you know, we created cars, we created airplanes, huh? And now we create rockets, you know, to go to other planets, huh? Just for this body, huh? If we wish to do so, I mean, we don't need all these things, you know, to go to other different planets, eh? If we want to know what is happening there, or to different realms of existence. Even with our ships, even with our airplanes, we cannot go to the heavenly realm, yeah? Or we can't even dive, you know, if we are interested, if the hell really exists, you know, dive, yeah, with our submarines, you know, into the hell realm, eh? We created these in order to travel in the physical realm, but not in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, you know, with the 30 realms of existence. The only realm of existence that we can see and that we can fiddle with is the realm of the animal realm, yeah? The ghost realm, I mean, most of us, you know, are more or less afraid of it. Yeah? Afraid of the ghost realm, so the demon realm, yeah? And even more afraid of the hell realm. Why we are afraid of the hell realm? Because we have been there for so many times. And most of the human beings, yeah, they live their life, you know, as if there's nothing else, you know, and then when they die, they go into the hell realm. When they come out of the hell realm, they come back to the ghost realm, and then, you know, sooner or later, they come back as human beings. And then they have nothing better to do than, you know, to pave their way, you know, to go to hell again. It must be so nice there, when you come out of hell. Yeah? Mustn't be that nice, you know, when you go to hell. So we have to think about, you know, what we want to do with our life. Do we want to open the door of the hamster wheel and start to get out? Yeah? Or open the door open the door of samsara and start to get into the enter the stream, like the Lord Buddha said. That would be a goal, yeah. Or if you have a higher goal, you know, then you know, don't want to be born again, yeah, or want to enter Nibbana instantly. Yeah? Become an anagami, a non-returner, or become an arahant. That can be our goal in this life. And all what we need to do is, you know, follow the path of the Lord Buddha. And the path of the Lord Buddha is very easily described. Yet, because of all our attachment to this world, to the senses, and so on, to this body, it seems to be difficult for us to go that path. And part of the Lord Buddha, yeah, is the fourth noble truth. The truth, yeah, that leads to the end of dukkha. And that is sila, samadhi, panya. Sila is the five precepts, keeping the five precepts. When we are here in the monastery, we keep the eight precepts. And actually, you know, one of the dutangas as well. Yeah? Because the monks, they keep the dutanga of eating only once a day. If you're in other monasteries, you know, they might eat, you know, just before noon, a second meal. But here we keep it simple. So that we have most of the time for us, you know, to practice. And what do we practice? Samadhi. Getting the mind completely calm. So that there's nothing going on. That there's no more thought arising, no more memories coming up. Completely calm. And just live, you know, and just live in this amazing sphere of, you know, just the experience. Without anybody telling us, you know, what we experience. Without this commentator who constantly tells us what to do, what to like, what not to like, and what not to do. And everybody should be familiar with it. Oh, I need to do this, or I need to do that. Oh, I don't like this, or I don't like that. This kind of food is not nice, that kind of food is nice. Let me have more of this, let me have more of that. Huh? Oh, today it is hot. Yeah. I mean, this is the commentator that you constantly live with. Huh? And that you cherish, you know, and you take it as your master. Because whenever this commentator says, I don't like this, then all what you do is says, yes, my Lord. Yeah? He's the Lord of you. Yeah? And this Lord is nothing else than avijja. And avijja has three armies. Yeah? The army of greed, the army of hate, and the army of delusion. And that's when we really start to practice, that's what we encounter. Because avijja, or our Lord, doesn't let us go out of avijja, yeah, or diminish avijja, or get rid of avijja, you know, without any fight. I mean, he's going to fight very hard. Just like any king or tyrant, yeah, he doesn't let any subjects go out. Think about, you know, I mean, if you remember East Germany, yeah, was a communist state, you know, whenever one of the subjects wanted to go out, you know, he was killed. Huh? Or now it is North Korea, the same thing. They have to escape. And it's the same thing with our Lord. But our Lord, you know, we think, yeah, it is fine, yeah, we don't know anything else, or we don't know better. Well, that's why we keep him, yeah, yes, yes, you should know, yes, yes. I just do what you say, you know, and then I hopefully have no dukkha. Huh? But we have lots of dukkha. Remember that. Huh? I mean, one of the reasons why we came here is we wanted to find a way out of dukkha. Huh? And dukkha is the first noble truth. Dukkha is dissatisfaction, discomfort, dis-ease, pain, suffering. And everybody of us knows this. Huh? That is the first noble truth. And the better we understand this first noble truth, the more motivation we have to go the path. Because the path of samadhi, the path of panya, of wisdom, is not an easy path. Because we have to investigate, we have to get rid of our attachment, not by letting it go, because we can't let it go. We have to investigate, you know, what we are attached to and why are we attached to. So why are we so attached to this body? Because we think it is nice. Whatever goes into the body is nice. Whatever comes out of the body we don't want to look at. Okay, so let's start to look at, you know, what this body turns everything that is nice. It is just like a factory. Yeah? Whatever goes in, you know, it turns out to be shit. Yeah, I mean, do you think anybody would buy this product? Yeah? Anybody in this world? Yeah? From this factory? But we love it. Yeah? We love this factory and call it body. Yeah? We put all these things in, you know, and we think it is nice, it is tasty, yeah? It is fine. Yeah? And whatever comes out, you know, I mean, it is, we don't like to see. It's disgusting. Yeah? So this body is nothing else than the factory that turns everything that we like into something that we dislike. And now you can understand, like, dislike, yeah, is rooted within the body. So greed and hatred is rooted within the body. So the first thing, you know, once we get calm, once there are no more thoughts and no more memories coming up and our mind can stay on the object, then we start to investigate the body. What is the body? Why is it, you know, that I like the things that go inside and I don't like the things that go out? So what is the mechanism of the body? Open up the body and see for yourself. In the moment you really open it up, you know, I mean, you feel disgust. You want to throw up or you fall unconscious. Ask any doctor, you know, who opens his first cup. Yeah? What happens to him? He either throws up or he falls unconscious. Because he sees this mess that we so much care about, that we so much love. Yeah? And we have to see it as well. Yeah? We have to see this mess of the body. Yeah? I mean, do we like to see the blood or the pus or these things coming out of this body? Yeah? We don't even like the hair that we so much love, you know, and take care of. We don't like to fall it in our food. Because then we find it disgusting, the food together with the hair. Yeah? Or the fingernails, you know, as long as they are on the body, you know, we think it is nice. The moment we cut them off, we find it disgusting. Yeah? Just like the hair. We take a shower, you know, I mean, we wash our hair because it becomes filthy. Yeah? It becomes greasy and filthy and dirty, you know. We wash it and then it feels nice and soft. And then we don't want to, you know, we don't want to look, you know, at the drainage of our shower, you know, and take the hair that has fallen off because we find it disgusting. Why? Why is that? Look at it. Investigate. Just these things, these are just the outside things of the body. When the moment the hair comes off, we find it disgusting. The moment the nails come off, we find it disgusting. Yeah? When our teeth break out, you know, we also find it disgusting. Yeah? When the poos or the blood comes out, you know, some people can't even see their own blood, you know, they fall unconscious. Yeah? I mean, that's in our body the whole time. And it actually makes the body work, you know. But we don't like to see. So the first thing is, you know, when we go on the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha. When we come here to the monastery, we keep the eight precepts, and that's it. Yeah? And then we go and develop samadhi until the mind gets completely still. And that's where happiness or peacefulness or anything arises that is pleasant. We actually don't want to come out. But the moment we come out, you know, we want to go back in. That is upachara samadhi. Upachara samadhi is access samadhi. And then from there, if you can stay on the object, on the breath, be it the breath or the Buddha, you know, that we take as our object, then we can decide, you know, to go on, to go deeper. Deeper into samadhi. The first thing is, you know, in upachara samadhi, there are no more thoughts, there is no more memories coming up, and we feel happy. Don't go to this happiness, don't go to this feeling that arises because of our hard work. Just go on, you know, stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath until the breath stops, and then we jump to the one who knows that the breath stops. And then we completely disappear from this world. And then we know this world. doesn't really exist. It exists in our thoughts, in our imagination, in everything. Yeah? If you go into this Apana Samadhi, in the state of Apana Samadhi, it is, yeah? I mean, it is like the privy of Nibbana. In the first thought, if you have a thought, then when you come out, it's, I want to go back. I don't want to live in this world, you know, where I constantly have to act on these sensations that constantly attack my body or attack my senses. Yeah? All these senses that we have, the six senses that we have, constantly there is some information coming in. And we constantly have to do, we have to react to these senses. Or it's too hot, yeah? Or it's too cold, yeah? I'm too sweaty, you know, or I'm hungry, all these things, yeah? We have to react to the senses, and this keeps us busy all our life, until we die. But we like this busyness. We don't like to, you know, the stillness. So we can go into Apana Samadhi, you know. So we follow the Buddha or we follow the breath until the breath stops. And then we just jump, yeah. I say trust, you know, I mean it is, yeah. It's a bit tricky, you know, to jump into that, but knows, yeah, that the breath stops. So don't get afraid. The breath really stops. Or the Buddha, yeah. Until you can't, the Buddha just doesn't disappear, or the breath doesn't disappear. Yeah? It's the interest in your breath or in the Buddha that disappears. It's not the breath. The breath actually becomes so clear and so, what is it, chat? So it becomes so clear and so predominant that you have no interest in anything else than the breath. Then you see that the breath becomes more and more subtle, and then you notice that the breath stops. And then you jump to the knowingness that knows that the breath stops. The breath doesn't disappear. I mean, remember this very well. Or the Buddha just doesn't disappear. Or the Buddha doesn't get weaker. It is only our interest in the Buddha or our interest in the breath that gets weaker and lets us think that the breath disappeared. Yeah? When the breath disappears, we bring it back. When the Buddha disappears, we bring it back. Until it really stops. You understand that? Yeah? Open your ears, yeah? Understand that the breath really stops and the Buddha really stops because we cannot concentrate even one on one thought. In the moment we notice that, we jump also to this knowingness. But before that, we have to develop this knowingness. We have to know at every moment at the time, you know, how is the breath? Is it at the beginning of the in-breath, yeah? Is it now at the middle? Is it now towards the end? Does it now change into the out-breath? Does the out-breath now change into the in-breath? How is the out-breath? Is it the beginning? Is it the middle? Is it at its height, you know? Or is it now slowly fading out, yeah? Giving room for the next in-breath? I mean, we are so busy with this knowingness, with knowing the breath, that we can't even know anything else. The whole world outside disappears. And you will see that. You will notice it if your concentration gets strong. The body seems to disappear. The more we are concentrated, the more we are not aware of the body anymore. We are just aware of the breath, or we are just aware of the Buddha. And everything what happens outside of our body, or outside, then sooner or later, outside of our chitta, we don't even notice. That is when we really get concentrated. But we don't need this level of concentration, you know, for doing our investigation. We need the level of concentration that is called upachara samadhi, when thoughts and memory stop, and we can stay on one point. Be it the Buddha or be it the breath. And then when we come out, we are concentrated enough to start our investigation. Because investigation also can lead us to some calm. But we both of this, you know, investigation to develop panya or to develop wisdom should not be mixed up with samadhi. When we sit down or when we do walking meditation, then we say for the next 2 hours I do just be with the Buddha, or just do calm meditation, and then nothing else. Then we don't We don't jump to investigation of the body because some thoughts come up or some images have come up. And the same thing is with investigation. When we are investigation, we take one of the objects, be it one of the body objects, be it the whole body or be it the part of the body, be it the face or be it the skin or be it the hair or be it the... And then we take this and we stay on this and start to visualize it. Once we can visualize it, we can dissect it and see the nature of it. Then next time we take another object and see the nature of it. And then we compare it, sooner or later we compare it. What is the nature of the skin and how does it differ from the nature of our nails? Or from the hair? And then we can start to compare. But if you can't concentrate on one object, if you get easily distracted, then we have to do some more samatha. But we should not switch. When I tell myself now I investigate for an hour, the body, then I stay with the body or with the body part. When I say for the next 2 hours, I stay with the Buddha or with the breath, then I should stay with the Buddha or with the breath and not switch into anything else. Because this switching nature is that what is detrimental to our practice. The only exception for the rule is that when we do sitting meditation and there is too much pain and we cannot concentrate on the Buddha anymore or on the breath anymore, then we start to investigate pain. What is pain? Understood? And now look so tired, huh? Understood? Yeah? Any questions? Andrew, you're leaving on Monday, or? You are leaving on Monday, or? So has your mind become calm a little bit? Mm-hmm. And that's why you want to leave. Can be quite boring, a calm mind, huh? We are not used to it. So, any questions, huh? Ella? Abhijit?
When for a month, I was doing Anapanasati.
Yeah?
I think of my notes.
Yeah?
But after that, nowadays what is happening is now, as I focus on the tip of my nose gets blocked and it has created a bit of sinus infection. I don't know.
Yeah, then take around, take
in my head.
You try to concentrate too strongly on the tip of the nose. Just slightly, that you are there, but try it out now with breathing in and do with breathing out. That shouldn't block your nose, because then you do not concentrate on the tip of the nose. You concentrate more on the Buddha. Try it out, or try it out just with the Buddha, how it works. But one of the hindrances will come up, Something else will come up, So, the moment we see one of the hindrances are coming up, we have to fight it, Fighting doesn't mean, to pressure through it. Fighting means, getting clever and finding a way out of it, How to overcome boredom, how to overcome laziness, how to overcome this, You have to ask yourself, okay, I see I get, whenever I sit down I get tired, I fall asleep, how do I overcome it? And after the meditation you ask yourself, and then you try several ways, or you ask the question, when you have the opportunity to ask me, then I can tell you a few tricks, And then you try these tricks, and some of them will work for a while, and others might not work, might not work for you, but over the time you will become clever and can overcome these obstacles. That's just in the beginning. There are lots of obstacles. So don't get disheartened by it, yeah, and then say, oh, it doesn't work, you know, it blocks my nose now, and so on, yeah. Or I get a headache, yeah. A headache, you know, is trying to push too much, yeah. I mean, actually, what is, you know, with the breath, when we do the breath, yeah, I mean, all our concentration, yeah, is there around the tip of the nose, yeah. Wherever you feel the breath, yeah, it can be here, and it can be at the upper lip, or it can be at the tip of the nose, or it can be underneath the nose, yeah, or whatever. And whenever the mind goes out, we just bring it back, yeah, just very gentle, just draw it back, okay, here, yeah, and then here, and then here. But if we push it too much, then of course, you know, all sorts of side effects, yeah, arise, yeah. It's the same with the Buddha. But sometimes we have to push. Yeah? Sometimes if this is such a nice thought, I don't want to go back. Yeah, then we have to push. You know, we have to really pull. Yeah, that's where we have to push or pull. Yeah, pull the mind, pull the citta back to the Buddha, or pull it back to the breath. Yeah? That's where we have to use force. But once it stays there, you know, I mean, we don't need any force, yeah? We just observe, yeah? And if you don't know what is observing, most of us Western people, you know, or coming from the civilized society, doesn't know what it means to observe. Here, you have a forest, observe the animals. You cannot control the animals, but you can observe them. And lots of people try to control the breath. It should be like this, it should be like that, it should be like this, you know. And that's where all these problems start. We were not aware of our breath for most of our life. Huh? No? And now we need to control it. Yeah? Whatever. That is the interesting thing. We need to control the things that we think, you know. I mean, we should be with the breath. We need to control it. No, you should observe it, yeah? Just like observing, yeah? I mean, you can observe how the leaves are falling from the trees. Now it's the time, yeah? Or how the animals run up, yeah? I mean, there are some, yeah? Or just observe, sit down, you know, and observe the dogs, yeah? You cannot control the dogs, yeah? But you know every moment what they do. And that's exactly what we need for our meditation on the breath or our meditation on the Buddha. With the Buddha, of course, we have to install it, you know, until it runs by itself, and then we can observe it. Okay, understood? Yeah? We, you know, especially when we come from the West or from a civilized, we need to control the things, yeah? That's all. Observe. And observing doesn't wish the things to be otherwise. Oh, my breath should be calm. Yeah? No. We know that the breath is not calm. We know that the breath is rough. We know that the breath is sati. We know that the breath is slow. Yeah? Or fast. That's it. Okay. Understood? Question? Any more questions?